following interesting shayla came up. I don't think it's lemaisa yet. I know it's not lemaisa yet, but it might be lemaisa. Someone asked me on Friday. As some of you may know, I think I've mentioned, my shul is doing this fundraising raffle called Play for BK. And the way the raffle works, by the way, if anyone wants to buy a ticket, you go to bknw.org. There's a banner right there on the top. You can click and you can buy a ticket. But anyway, the way the raffle works is that they sell 360 tickets, each at a price point of between $1 and $360. So every number between $1 and $360 has a ticket that's sold at that price. The only trick is you don't know the price of your ticket until you purchase it. So you put in your credit card information and you click buy a ticket, and then like a slot machine kind of image comes up, and it shows three numbers, and those numbers are the price of your ticket. So your ticket could cost $1, your ticket could cost $360, or your ticket could cost any number in between. There is only one of each price that is sold, and that's why there's a total of 360 tickets. And then they draw a raffle, and the winner gets $10,000. Okay, so that's the idea of the raffle. So it's an interesting idea. It's sort of preys on a person's gambling instinct a little bit, which maybe is not so healthy, but it's a very very interesting idea, a nice fundraising idea, and we could have a discussion maybe some other time about asmachta kanya, asmachta lo kanya, and why this is okay when you're doing it for tzedakah, that maybe it's okay, and we could talk about in terms of what percentage of the money can be counted as tzedakah money that you're using to pay for this ticket, because after all, there's a chance of actually winning something from this, so it's not all just out of the goodness of your heart. If there was no chance of winning a grand prize, probably people would not submit themselves to that game of chance. But the following shayla came up. Someone said to me that they were talking to another fellow from my shul, and the guy said, I haven't yet bought a ticket, but I'm going to buy one. I promise I'm going to buy one. So what happens if the raffle comes and goes? I believe the drawing is on Thursday. If the raffle comes and goes, get your tickets now. If the raffle comes and goes, and the guy didn't buy one, how much money does he owe the shul? See, normally when you make a neder l'tzedakah, it's binding. That it's amirasa l'gvoh k'misirasa l'hedyot, right? We are familiar with this concept, and it's considered to be a binding neder, and you're chayv to pay that money to tzedakah. But over here, you didn't say an amount of money, and you don't even know the amount of money, because the computer generates some number between 1 and 360. I clicked, I got 322. Someone else clicked, a guy, a friend of ours, Rabbi Danny Konigsberg, clicked, he got $1, right? Another guy, Eli Schiffmiller, clicked, he got 360. So I happen to know that 1 and 360 are off the board, okay? And I think our whole shul knows that, so anyone who's buying the ticket probably knows that. But they have no idea. It could be any number between 2 and 359, as far as they know. So what is the halacha? What do they owe to tzedakah? So what are the logical possibilities? Logical possibilities. So one possibility is 180. Why 180? That's the average, exact middle. That when you're not sure, you know, mamon mutl b'safek, chalkin. Good, so you decide to divide. Good, what are the other logical possibilities? Get a randomizer, go on Google, and find a randomizer, and have it randomize a number from 1 to 360. You had committed to submit yourself to a random number between 1 and 360, so now you'll give a random number between 1 and 360. Okay, another logical possibility? 360 is another logical possibility that you have to be machmir. Another logical possibility, $1, because maybe you should only have to give the least amount. Another logical possibility, the last available ticket, whatever the price of the last available ticket was, because that was his last chance to actually fulfill his nether. So maybe at that point it became an obligation. Another possibility is that the market value of a ticket, meaning, what is the market value of a 1 in 360 chance to win $10,000? So you find an actuary who can figure out what the market value of that is. Or maybe the value that the shul is expecting from each ticket sold. What's the value the shul is expecting from each ticket sold? So I would have said 180, but it's not, because you got to subtract the prize money and the cost of the of Raise It or whatever the charity organization that runs it. They charge $2,000 off the top to run the platform. So at the end of the day, the shul, I think, expects something like $143.50 from each ticket sold. So maybe that's what you should. Good. So the first way to approach this is to look at what is the halacha when you have a suffik tzedakah, when you're not sure whether you're obligated in tzedakah. Now, the classic case of suffik tzedakah is not this case, believe it or not. Classic case of suffik tzedakah is you find some money, and you're not sure whether that was designated as tzedakah money or it's your own money. Just on Shabbos, I put on a suit, I reached into my pocket, and there was a check in my pocket made out to cash. I don't know who in the world is giving me checks made out to cash. So it could be that it was meant for a tzedakah fund, and they made it out to cash, or it could be that someone had done mechiras chametz with me, I haven't worn the suit in a while, and they made out a check to cash just as a gift to the rabbi. I don't know why they would make it to cash and not to my name, whatever. But I don't know, there was a check in my pocket made out to cash. Now it happens to be checks have an advantage in that there are names on them, so you can call the person and find out what it was about. But let's say I didn't know. So it could be that it was a mol schitim check, or it could be it was a check for me. So I don't know. What do you do when you have a suffik tzedakah? So the Beis Yosef writes in Yoredei Siman Reishon and Tes, in the name of the Mordechai, in the first parak of Baba Basra, Siman Tov Reishon and Tes, Tanya B'Toras Kohanim, there's a Medrash in Parshas Kedoshim, Minayin Shesuffik Leket Leket, Suffik Peya Peya, Suffik Shicha Shicha. How do I know that when you have a suffik of the matnos aniyim that you assume that it is matnos aniyim? Tamalomar la'ani v'la'ger tazov osam. Ubi Yerushalmi amrina, the Yerushalmi in the fourth paragraph of Sechus Peah says, minayin shesuffik lekat lekat damrakra, ani v'rash hatztiku. Yeah, we discussed this pasuk a little bit this year. Ani v'rash hatztiku. Hatztikehu b'matnosav, that you should give him as much as you can, and whenever you have a suffik, you give the leket shech or peah. Okay, but that's leket shech or peah. What does that have to do with tzedakah? Tzedakah is a different din. Says the Beis Yosef, yesh li lilmun mikan, dehu adin, suffik tzedakah tzedakah. That suffix tzedakah is tzedakah, that's also a matnos aniyim, and just like hatztikehu matnosav, hachanami ikal memra hatztikehu bitzedakah, because tzedakah is also a matana. So therefore, says the Beis Yosef, Hilkach, Omer ani hamechaber, the mechaber calls himself the mechaber, mi sheyesh biyado ma'os, if someone has money, Umis Safkale, he's not really calling himself a Mechaber, he's quoting the Mordechai. Umis Safkale, Imheim Shal Tzedakah Olav, Chayv Litinosam Tzedakah, Adkan Lashonu. That's, so he has to give tzedakah when he's not sure if it is tzedakah or not. The Darkei Moshe quotes a Rashba in the Tshuva Chelek Aleph Siman Tov Resh Nun Vav, someone who is Poresh Mibalinsa Leleches Lemorasya Vehivkid Sham Tevaso, he left his money box and he said he's afraid that he's going to die on the road, so you should be made that he's being Makdish the Teva and the Svarim and the money and the Begadim, whatever his cabinet, everything that had in it, and it should be L'shem Kofar Nafsho, which would be kapara for him, and he goes through this whole discussion, and they weren't sure whether the money in there was designated for tzedakah or not, and the Rashba writes with many many rayos that if you're not sure if something belongs to tzedakah or not, hamotzi mechaver olav haraya, and therefore you don't have to give it to tzedakah. Let the tzedakah prove that it belongs to them, and if they can't prove that it belongs to them, then you're allowed to keep it, right? So essentially what the point of contention over here is, and this is a Ram Machlok Zeran Rashba Mesach Nedarim, I believe Tav Zayin or so, Mesach Nedarim, I left all my notes in my whole bag at home today, so everything I'm saying today is just like, so I apologize, but it's somewhere in Mesach Nedarim, there's a Machlok Zeran Rashba Mesach Nedarim, whether we view a Safik Tzedakah as a Safik Isser or as a Safik Mamon. What's the difference between Safik Yisr and Safik Mamam? Safik Yisr, we say, Safik Daraisa Luchum. Right? If it's Daraisa, Safik Daraisa Luchum. Safik Mamam, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. That makes all the difference in terms of Safik Tzedakah. Okay, good. So now I just need to know what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. So comes along the Mechaber in Yerideya, Simon Reishon and Tes, Mi Sheyesh Biyado Ma'us V'hu Mesupa Kemehem Shal Tzedakah, Chayiv Litinosam Tzedakah. You have to give it for Tzedakah if you're not sure, which means it is a Safik Isser, right? So big Isser that we're going Luchumba. Says the Rama, Aval mi shehikdish davar b'lashon shem mesupakim bo. But let's say a guy is makdish something in a lashon that we're not sure what he meant, meaning what's he paraphrasing? The Tshuva Sarashba, the guy said, let this be kapara l'nafshi. And we don't know what in the world he meant by that, that it should be a kapara l'nafshi. Umeis, and then he dies. She'en leida kavanaso. There's no way for us to ask him because he's dead. Nikru'u ayorshim muchzakim. The yorshim are muchzak in the money. Va'ahektish abal lahotzi mehem alav araya. And the Hektish wants to take the money from them, let the Hektish bring a raya. Because man, sheinu mevi raya, nuchasim cheskes yarshim. And as long as they don't bring a raya, the nuchasim belong to the yarshim. Good, so what does the Rama assume? That it's a safek? Mamon. So you would say, naturally, so this all depends, if you have a safek tzedak, it depends if you are Sephardic or Ashkenazic. Here's the problem. The Mechaber said what he said, and instead of the Rama saying, v'yesh cholkin, or v'yesh omrin, the Rama says, aval, if you change the case a little bit, and it's a case of a guy who was Maktish Tavar, and we don't know what he meant, and then he dies, then it's a Safik Mamon. So that's a little bit strange, because that Lashon implies, I agree with everything you said, Mechaber, but, you know, if you change it a little bit, the Allah would be different. What do you mean you agree with everything you said? The Mechaber said that it's Safik Isser, and you have to go to Chumra. You, Rama, are saying that it's Safik Mamon, and therefore you say, Motzi Mechaber Alav Raya. How can you reconcile the two? So I saw Revival in the Badei HaShulchan on Hilchas Tzedakah. Revival Cohen suggests, he doesn't suggest himself, he quotes from earlier poskim, I forget who, maybe it's the Taz, it might even be right here in the Shulchan Aruch, on page of Shulchan Aruch. But he quotes from earlier poskim that said that the difference is, in a case where it's you made a neder l'tzedakah, or you might have made a neder l'tzedakah, so then you have a safik yisr, because the neder is the yisr. You have a suffix whether you're mechuyot to keep that nether. But if your father made the nether, right, and it's just a matter of you yarshening that money, and you don't know if that money belongs to you, if it belongs to tzedakah, then there's no suffix issue. Then it's purely a suffix mamon. So the Rama would agree in a situation where the person himself is the one who made the nether, and he's not sure, we would say suffix l'chumra. And therefore, if we were to view this case of the play for BK ticket as a suffix, whether he was going to give $3.59 or two, right, or $2, or any number in between, what would we have to say? L'chumra, right? And he would have to give $3.59. But there is another possibility. Rav Nissen Kaplan was in my shul on Shabbos, so I always like to hack him in halachic shaylas. He likes halach a lot. So I was hacking him a little bit in this shayla. He was very intrigued, it seemed to me. He was very intrigued by the shayla, and he said he's not sure. Said either it's 360, yeah, he didn't know the 360, that everyone knew the 360 was sold. So either it's 360, meaning suffix l'chumra, or it's the value of that suffix, meaning none of the possibilities we suggested. What does it mean, the value of that suffix? He said, let's say, he didn't say exactly like this, but let's say you weren't selling tickets at $1, $2, $3, and every number up to 360. Let's say you were just selling raffle tickets for $360. And every raffle ticket costs $360. Would people be buying them? No, right? We've sold, as of this morning, there are 83 tickets left, right? So we sold, I don't know, close to 300 tickets, right? Hopefully they'll all go. We have two more days. Hopefully they'll all go. But imagine that, now, if there were $360 a piece, we probably would have sold, I don't know, five. You know, People enjoy the thrill of the possibility that they may get the $1. And they know that, you know, it's a chance that they might be committing $360. But, you know, on average, it will be around $180, and they're willing to take that chance or something. Now, he said, how much would the average person pay if there was a set price for the ticket? Meaning, again, it's a ticket with, and this is not the same as the market value of a 1 in 360 chance to win $10,000. Because the market value of a 1 in 360 chance with $10,000 is much less than $180, right? Because it's obviously the reason people buy these tickets is not because it makes financial sense to buy these tickets. Why do they buy these tickets? They want to support the shul. They say, oh, that 10-minute halacha rabbi, I'd love to build him in a shul. So they want to support the shul, right? So that's why they're giving these. So the what you would have to assess is a person who wants to support the shul, what would he pay if there was a set market value of the ticket? Meaning, what's the cost of the risk of playing that game? I don't know how you figure out that number, But that is what he really committed to do. That's the value of what he really committed to. He committed to take the risk, and that would be the value. I asked him this, and what do you think? Do you think it's really something stuck, or do you think that? He said, I wouldn't hold him to it because it was like a two-minute conversation, but he said that he thinks that's the more correct way. I would disagree. I would think that it's more a Suffolk tzedakah situation, and that it should be. I don't think going on a randomizer, another randomizer, makes any sense. There's another possibility that's also just as likely a possibility. He committed to buy a raffle ticket, to a raffle that no longer exists and no longer has tickets. It could be that this is just mu'uvas l'yuchuliska, that he lost his chance and there is no way to fulfill his neder. Meaning he can give tzedakah and it's good, and that's a good kapara for having failed in his neder. But it could be, he's going to get him. I don't know. He said that there's no way to fix something that's already over his mano. He's going to have to do tshuva or whatever. But it could be that there's no way at this point to fulfill the neder. So that I think in the end of the day, even though we said all those possibilities at the beginning, there are three logical possibilities that could all be true. There's the possibility that it's 360 because we pass on from the chaber that suffik l'chumra. I think that's the most likely. There's Rav Nissen Kaplan's possibility of the neder to give something of the value of the risk. I don't know how to even calculate that. And then there's the possibility that no matter what you do, you're not fulfilling your neder because your neder was to buy a ticket and the game is already over. But it's not yet over, so people still have 48 hours, so hopefully the guy that committed to do it will actually buy the ticket. Okay.